The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Stephan Tubbs Show on a Monday afternoon. Stephan has an extra day off today. I'm Randy Corcoran from Saturday Mornings, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. Taking the reins for the day, so good to have you on the show. And man, the first real sort of winter-like day today. It's something out there. It was 22 degrees when I got in my car this morning for a dental appointment. All the way up to 32 degrees in Aurora right now, 32 degrees over there in hell, otherwise known as Denver. And it's really weird. It's really interesting to look at weather forecasts because there's one that's printed up and put in the studio each morning, and it says, you know, tomorrow 45, Wednesday 59, Thursday 57, Friday 37, Saturday 38, maybe a slight touch of snow chance come Thursday. And then I go to my Weather Channel app on my smartphone, and it says Tuesday 30, Wednesday 31, Thursday 34. Those are the lows. I just updated my smartphone to the 15.01 or whatever, and so it looks completely different. I guess the forecasts aren't that different, but it does look like as much of a 60% chance of snow come Friday. Man, oh man, I am looking forward to that. So on Saturday, we have an awful lot of fun, full lines throughout the hours, and phone lines are open here, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. Welcome your calls on any and every topic under the sun today. Got a very fascinating show ahead for you. There's an organization called Moms for America, and it was used to be called Homemakers for America. It was founded all the way back in 2004, a national movement of moms to reclaim our culture for truth, family, and freedom. Moms for Freedom. Well, if you're a regular listener to the Saturday Morning Show, and I think she's been on elsewhere here on 710 KNUS, right here in Colorado, we have America's mom. Her name is Sharona Bishop, and she was out in Mar-a-Lago yesterday at the Moms for America gathering that was going on. And someone who you may remember from the not-too-distant past showed up to talk to the group there. His name is Donald J. Trump. And Sharona Bishop is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour to talk a little bit about that. Sharona is also controversial in some places because she stands strongly with Tina Peters in Mesa County. And she'll explain what's really going on with the actions that clerk and recorder Tina Peters took up in Mesa County when it came to making a forensic copy of a Dominion voting machine, the reports that have been issued and all of that. But primarily, I want to get her take because she's been involved in changing school boards. She was very, very effective in flipping the Mesa County School Board up there. And which I think, you know, is right in line with being America's mom and this group, Moms for America. These folks are on fire. They put massive numbers of people on the ground and phone calls and other efforts into Virginia to help flip that governor's race in Virginia. And so I want to talk to her about all of that. And then she was also subjected to an FBI raid, where they literally used a battering ram to knock down her, bang open her front door. FBI grabbed her 17, 18-year-old daughter by the hoodie up and down the stairs. I don't know what that was all about. They handcuffed her. Again, no criminal charges whatsoever. And I don't know for sure whether this is because she's involved with Tina Peters and Election Integrity, and they're, you know, trying to send the scare message, or because people who stand up for their children in school board races and go to school board meetings and confront liberal left-wing school board members about curriculum and all of those things have been listed, you know, been grouped together as domestic terrorists by our very own Department of Justice. But what happened to her was outrageous, and we'll get some updates on that as well. Did a full hour interview with her two Saturdays ago, I think it was, on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Something else we did that was fun on Saturday is there's this great song out there. It's a parody about Anthony Fauci. It's called Sad Little Man, and it's very, very sad. He's very sad, little man. The performing artist is a guy named Five Times August. I don't know if that's the group or the name, but it's Five Times August. And it became so popular so fast that YouTube had to squash it. They literally took it down. And then after numerous complaints, they put it back up where you can see it, but they demonetized it so that the artist can't make any money off of it. I don't know if it's zero. I don't really know exactly how it all works. But it's zero or very limited financial gain that he can make, or it or the group or whatever can make from this particular performance. But the reason that they did it, is because they said it contained medical misinformation. It's a parody. It contains no medical information whatsoever. In fact, why don't we listen to 54 or 55 seconds of it right this second?
Sad little man sitting deep in a lie. He's dead in his soul, but he'll keep you alive. Do what he says, not what he do. 'Cause the truth is for him and the lie is for you. Sad little man, but he's treated like a god. As the faithless pray to a fake and a fraud. Worship the man, pledge to his word. One shot, two shot, now you get a third. Sad little man, sad little man.
So basically, if we carve that up into three pieces, they're all very similar to that with that same refrain. And we'll play them all before the show's over. We're with you till 7 p.m. But did you hear medical information in there? Did you hear them giving you medical advice or anything else? The radical leftists in charge of our social media and our information gathering right now, temporarily, I believe, but right now, could not stand the popularity of that catchy little anti-Fauci tune. And so they put on the brakes and squelched it. And their reason for doing so was medical misinformation. It's absolutely outrageous. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, a columnist, activist, friend of mine, Joy Overbeck, will be joining the show. And man, is she on this stuff. As you know, Douglas County flipped their school board, elected what we think, what I believe to be our four strong new board members with conservative principles. We expect them to be fiscally responsible. They're going to be voting tomorrow night, I believe, or very, very soon on mask mandates and things like that in the schools. Quick side on Douglas County. Remember, the Douglas County commissioners removed Douglas County from the control of Tri-County Health, so it's now Bi-County Health. Or whatever, I don't know what they call it, probably the same. But Tri-County Health had this mask mandate. Douglas County had already threatened to extricate themselves from the agreement with Tri-County. And when Tri-County did another mask mandate, the commissioners in Douglas County followed through, and they pulled themselves out. So then the then very left-wing school board, which was just replaced, I think the new members just got in place within the last week or so, they voted right away to re-implement mask mandates. And so I'm sure that we're going to see a change in that policy, make it the preference of the parents, and or at least create the options for very reasonable exemptions. Well, I don't know what they're going to do. I expect, since they ran on conservative and freedom and parental responsibility platforms, that that will in fact happen. But they look to be getting ready to make a very bad first decision, a very bad mistake. I think I talked about this very briefly, maybe filling in or on a Saturday show when this was going on. I can't remember how many months ago, but there's a building at on Lincoln Avenue in Parker. It's the old, what was it called? Wildlife, wildfire, wildlife. I'll remember the name in a minute. We used to go there with the kids when they were younger, and it was a pretty cool place. And CU has been trying to dump that building forever. And the purchase price, $10, I believe. No, $10 million. That's a typo, Joy. $10 million and $25 million in, quote, tenant finishes, such as a new roof. So meaning upgrades and repairs and the whole nine yards, it sounds like to me. $35 million. And the Douglas County commissioners last year, or maybe it was earlier this year, it's, gosh, we're December now, so it's been a long time. No, it was earlier this year. I'm just sure of it. But regardless, they were looking at buying that thing. And I don't know. I think they were going to use it for some kind of office space or expansion or something. I don't remember. But I believe that, and I don't live in Douglas County, but I believe that there was pressure on them that said no. There's a reason CU is dumping this building. It's a beautiful building. But it's the maintenance for it, the expense of keeping it open and running it every single day is simply outrageous. And I think that the school board wants to use it for something like, remember back in my day in school, we had things like mechanic shop and other sort of trade type of educations, which are certainly important in today's economy. But to pick up that kind of a price tag on a building that CU has been trying to dump for a long, long time doesn't strike me as an investment. It doesn't strike me that this new board could have enough information about it, about long-term maintenance costs, daily upkeep costs, and the way in which they'll utilize this massive building to make that kind of a decision this early in their tenure. And here's what makes it problematic for me. And we're going to have Joy Overbeck join us at 5 o'clock today to get the details on this and talk about it. But what bothers me is that they put a meeting up tomorrow to make a vote about this, and apparently the meeting wasn't put up on their website. A special Board of Education meeting on Tuesday, 12/7, that's tomorrow, which at least this morning was not listed on their district calendar page. They are going to make this massive decision. Well, it's the wildlife experience. That's what it was. Thank you. I saw it just as soon, and you put it up too. I love having Matt behind the glass. Thank you, sir. Yeah, the wildlife experience. That may ring a bell for many of you, especially here in the 710 CAN-US, direct signal area. And it's just been sitting there vacant for years now. But, man, the meeting was unannounced. And don't you think, especially if you're a new school board member that ran on a conservative platform, and I interviewed some of these people, I talked to some of these people, and I don't remember specifics right now, but you can usually assume that a conservative running for any kind of a board position is running on fiscal conservatism, on more parental decision-making and hands-off by the school board. I'm sure they'll dig into the nasty, awful curriculum that Douglas County, the prior school board, was trying to implement in Douglas County with the sexualization and all the equity and garbage that we've talked about so many times before. But why would they come in, brand new, just sworn in, have this meeting that's not on the calendar, and plan to make this massive decision without getting the word out and letting their constituents, the parents who elected them to these positions, weigh in? That is very, very concerning to me. This isn't, we're going to buy a new brand of encyclopedia, or we're going to upgrade some computers for our classes or something. This is a $35 million expenditure plus taxes and maintenance and upkeep every single year, plus whatever they'd invested, spent, turn it into something useful for the school. So I found out about this too late, and found out I was going to be doing this show too late to reach out to the actual school board members to get one of their, some of their takes. If anyone knows them listening, feel free to have them call 303-696-1971. Would love to hear some explanation on why this vote needs to happen so quick in the brand new term in a meeting that apparently was not listed on the district website, the district's calendar page. And therefore, that tells me that this is being done with without very much input or feedback from the constituents that elected them to office. Just a major concern for me. We'll explore that with Joy Overbeck. Really looking forward at 6 o'clock to speak to good friend, former radio host here at 710 KNUS, former Miss Colorado and second runner-up to Miss America, just full of talent, filmmaker, documentarian, actress, and now U.S. Senate candidate right here in Colorado, Deb Flora. She will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. So that's how we've got the show laid out for you today, and lots of open lines in between. Be glad to discuss anything and everything that's on your mind. One of the questions that I was thinking about, especially when I heard from Deb today, and we were talking about other things, and I thought, well, heck, I haven't interviewed her at all since she threw her hat into the ring for U.S. Senate. So it'd be nice to have her on the show. But then on the way in, I was thinking, gosh, there are now, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 U.S. Senate candidates in Colorado. We're past the off-year elections. We did pretty well here in Colorado, did great in Virginia and some other states with some real surprises for Democrats. It was pretty terrific. Are you already even thinking about the midterms next year? Is it anybody but just the activists? You know, I'm the Republican National Committee man. I chair the largest Tea Party group in Colorado, so I do live, eat, drink some politics and some policy and certainly a whole lot of activism. But you know, getting ready to go home from work or driving around, picking up your kids, whatever you're doing, are you even thinking about these politicians yet and these candidates? Or is it Christmas and New Year's we need to handle with the ships still docked off the ports in California? And how am I going to get, you know, everything that I wanted to get for my kids or for my parents or for my family? Do you have any interest at all in these candidates this early? Let me just give you the list. If you have a favorite, or if it's way too early to be talking about this, just call and let me know. We'll change the subject. But here are the candidates in alphabetical order. Eric Odland, who I think I just saw got the endorsement of my good buddy Tom Tancredo. Eli Bremmer, who I really only know because I beat him for Republican National Committee man a couple of years ago. Yeah, actually, I beat him and the next, I think he was number three in that race, and I beat him and number two by more than the total of their votes combined. In fact, there was one other real solid conservative in there that, and I tried to talk him out of running, but if he hadn't run, I think I'd have probably gotten more votes than the entire field combined. But anyway, setting that aside, so Eric Odland, Eli Bremmer, Gino Campagna, Campagna, I think is the way it's pronounced. I've interviewed him one time. Very dynamic. By the way, as National Committee man, I cannot take favorites in primary races. So you will not be getting an endorsement or a preference or a perspective from me other than just simply things that I know about these individuals. But Gino's very dynamic, former chair, I think, and maybe Larimer County, I forget. But a great story, great history. Deb Flora, who we'll talk to at 6 o'clock. And we'll also get an update on her documentary about the crazy critical race theory education garbage going on in our schools. Ron Hanks, whose first or his introductory campaign ad was him blowing up a copy machine with the name Dominion on top of it. Julie Henry, who I just simply don't know, have never talked to. Joe O'Day, I don't know, have never talked to. And Peter Yu. Peter Yu is, I think he's a businessman. I've met him. I've talked to him. Nicest guy in the world. Believe he ran for this position or maybe a congressional position before. Other than that, I don't know too much about him either. But man, 8 people to choose from for the Republican primary, U.S. Senate. Are we even supposed to be paying attention yet? 303-696-1971 is the number here. It's time already for our very first break, though, at 3:22. I'm Randy Corporan in for Stephen Tubbs. We'll be right back after our first look at the afternoon news with Blake Olson. Man. That and the afternoon coffee that I never, ever drink, that's like electricity jolting in my headphones. I don't like it. Well done, Matthew. Well done. Don't forget, coming up at 4 p.m., America's Mom, Sharona Bishop, will join us. Man, she has been everywhere. She's been on with Michael Gallagher, another Salem host. The War Room with Steve Bannon. But what's really fun, really cool, is that she was at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend for the gathering of Moms for America, formerly Homemakers for America. And they were not disappointed when Donald Trump showed up. So we'll get a chance to talk about that with her. Plus, she, in my mind, has been the victim of tremendous political intimidation by the FBI, literally breaking down her door for either her involvement in flipping school boards and taking on the radical agenda, or for being a friend and supporter of Tina Peters, but not involved in anything that Tina Peters actually did. No arrests, no criminal charges, whatever. I suppose they could come. I doubt it, but you just never know. But in any event, she is wonderful to talk to. She's a dear friend. I met her and Lauren Boebert together at an event at the Capitol long before Lauren was talking about running for Congress. And both she and Congresswoman Boebert have been great friends ever since. Look forward to sharing her with you guys at 4 o'clock. Phone number here, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. And you guys are all over it. All over it. The 710 KNUS app. If you're new to the area, new to the station, got a smartphone, download the 710 KNUS app because it gives you instant access not only to all of our podcasts, all of our shows, specials, advertisements, anything, everything, newsletters. There's just all kinds of stuff that comes with that. No charge, of course. But it's got this great feature. You can listen to 710 KNUS anywhere you have an internet connection. But you can also push a button and text right into the studio. And in that opening segment, when I was struggling for the name of the wildlife experience, it was the wildlife, like three texts came in within 12 seconds of each other, correcting me. And then some great questions. If you're just joining the show, I was talking about the brand newly installed Douglas County School Board members, a conservative bunch. I mean, one of the school boards we flipped here in Colorado. Such an exciting night, those off-year elections. Having a, seems like, kind of a secret meeting. It wasn't on the calendar this morning. A special Board of Education meeting tomorrow night, to vote on whether to spend $35 million on the former wildlife experience building in Parker. And they've been sworn in for maybe a week. It's like, you know, 5 minutes they've been on the job. And I know these, I don't know these people, but I know the slate they were running on. I think I had one or two of them on the Saturday show. But they were running as fiscal conservatives. And so maybe there's a conservative fiscal argument to be made for spending $35 million, but you darn well ought to talk about it with the voters first, shouldn't you? And I will tell you, I got information on this story late. And also found out about doing the Stephen Tubbs show kind of late today. So what I've asked Matt to do behind the glass is we got the email for all of the school board members, all the new ones, and we're reaching out to them to see if they want to come on the show and talk about any of this, you know, any of their thought process here. But man, oh man, if I was a new board member and I thought this was the best deal since sliced bread and ice cream, I would probably still not be wanting to vote in a special meeting without hearing from constituents. And so I mentioned the text-to-studio app, and people are asking great questions about this purchase. If it is a trade school, somebody asked, what's the purpose? Are they going to resell it? No, they want to basically expand their education, add career and technical education to the department, the Douglas County educational system. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe it's not, but picking up this massively expensive building with up to $2 million a year just in annual maintenance and upkeep costs and everything else as a brand new conservative school board in a meeting that apparently wasn't on the main calendar, I mean, it's just too much for me right now. And so when we talked to Joy Hoffman, former chair of the Arapahoe County Republicans, I'm an Arapahoe County Republican. When we talked to Joy Overbeck at 5 p.m., the town hall columnist and local activist, we'll give out the email addresses to the school board members. Matt is reaching out to them to see if we can get any of them to come on and talk about this. But man, oh man, I don't live in Douglas. If I did, I would be there tomorrow. And if you do, you should be there tomorrow and make sure that you share your opinion with these folks about this massive, fast expenditure a week or so into their new terms. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then another text to studio. If it's a trade school, have the kids learn how to do the maintenance on the building. The trade instructors can supervise. Yeah, that's funny. When I called Joy about this story to get a little more information on the way here and see if she could join me this afternoon, I think she made the comment, yeah, you know, what all are we going to teach there? Should we be teaching nail salon techniques? And I threw in maybe we should set up a massage school and on and on and on. So let's get to some of these phone calls while we're at it here. John in Aurora has been patiently waiting. Good afternoon, John.
Hey, Randy, how you doing?
Doing well, sir.
Hey, I had a question a little bit about our Tea Party meeting coming up, if we're going to have it, and that's okay to do this on here, I don't know. But in terms of maybe even doing kind of a fun, Christmas party get together, a low-key thing. I don't know what you guys were planning.
Well, you're talking about the Arapo Tea Party. I'm the chair.
Correct.
Our meetings are usually the second Tuesday of the month, which would be December 14th. This year, there's so many parties that week, John, and because of the Tri-County building limitations with, masking and all that, I'm not sure we're even going to have access to our regular facility for the meeting. But I also learned that the Arapahoe County Republican Christmas party is on that same night. So
I think
that's where I'm going to go. And I would encourage our Tea Party members. We always talk about, supporting. Obviously, we challenge Republicans who have never read the platform, don't pay attention to their promises or whatever. But we're here to support conservatives, and conservatives are found in the Republican Party. So I think I would love to see you guys at the Arapahoe County Christmas party, about that on Saturday as well. So thank you, sir. Anything else?
Hey, well, real quick on Lauren Boebert and the whole thing with Omar, what's your take on all that? And I guess I saw the video of what you said, and it just kind of made me laugh more than anything.
Yeah, it's such a great question. And actually, since Sharona Bishop, who's a dear friend, was an early campaign worker or manager or whatever with Lauren Boebert during her primary campaign for Congress, I'm going to have that conversation with Sharona. I'll share my thoughts when we hear what she has to say about it as well. Does that work?
Yeah, well, that works. One thing that really gets me is, they want to strip her committees. Isn't that almost like stripping the people she represents, their representation in a sense? You know what I mean? I've never heard of them doing that until it was with the other lady, a few months back. And I thought, that just seems outrageous. They were elected to represent these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before you hang up, in case you miss it transitioning from your phone back to your radio, listen to this. Look at what Matt put together for me. This is Nancy Pelosi at a press conference in November trying somehow to garble her way through thoughts on the budget reconciliation bill. I don't think this woman is capable of much in the way of thought. She sounds worse than Joe Biden here. Take a listen real quick before we let you go.
Okay. Bird and privilege. I think most of them are getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is deadly to a bill.
I'm going to stop it just because I want you, now that you've heard whatever it is she thinks she's babbling about, I want you to hear it again.
Bird and privilege. I think most of them are getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is deadly to a bill. It's important. You have to take it out, but privilege violation can take you out. So we're again getting that as we go along as well. But when we pass a bill, then they will see it in its aggregate and make some.
Any concerns that any of this is, quote, messaging, because that they have to take some of those things out regardless, no matter what you send over? You said you weren't going to send a messaging bill.
No, we're going to send a messaging bill, but we want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or
it's not birdable
or privilege scrub. They're the two
third in line to the presidency.
Exercises. We're getting engaged. Bathing exercises we're engaged in. And we're getting good responses. There's no bad answer.
But we're getting,
it is what it is.
She can barely articulate the words. And listen, I've had afternoon coffee, so I could babble a few myself. But she literally just can't say them anymore. Could you make any sense out of that at all?
I could not at all. She sounded like Biden, you know, 2.0.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for the call. And we'll talk with Sharona Bishop about the attack from Nancy Pelosi on Lauren Boebert, along with a host of other things in the 4 o'clock. God bless her.
Okay, hey, take care, man.
Yeah, bye-bye. You too. And John's line is open, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. Just real quick, just the first few seconds of this one more time.
Bird and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is deadly to a bill. Birdable, it's important. It's, you have to take it out. But privilege violation can take you out.
Yeah, sure it can.
So we're, again, getting...
Anyway... If you can make sense of that, you're a better man than I. Brandy, sit tight when we come back. She's got comments on the wildlife experience building. Stephen Tubbs Show continues. We'll check in with the news now. Here's Blake Olson. Now you're talking. My era. Journey had 3:45, 15 minutes to go until 4 o'clock. Randy Corporan in for Stephen Tubbs. The Tubster will be back live, not in studio tomorrow, but they'll be out at the homeless healing facility in Denver. I know. I was trying to think of a nice way to describe it. Man, Matt's all over me. By the way, Matt, did you put this garbage in here about 4 conservative radio talk shows hosts bashed coronavirus vaccines, then got sick? Is that from you? Okay, we're going to talk. It's written by some Washington Compost writer named Paul Farhi. Do you know this guy, Paul Farhi? You know anything about him? Well, we'll have something to say about that here in a few minutes. But Brandy was kind enough to wait through the break with a comment. And in case you're just joining the show, let me just set up the story before we bring Brandy on again. Tomorrow, at a special Board of Education meeting, the brand new Douglas County Conservative Majority Board, in a meeting that was, for some reason, not on the school district's calendar page, are going to decide whether to buy a building, and many of you know the building. It's the old Wildlife Experience on Lincoln in Parker, just west of Parker Road, for $10 million and 20, plus another $25 million, so a total of $35 million. The $25 million includes what the tenant is going to do to fix the building. It's a weird way to address tenant finishes. That just seems like they're going to have to fix it up. I don't know why it's called that, but they're going to have to put a new roof on it, all kinds of stuff. Looks like the operational budget for that building is anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million. And their reason for doing it is to add career and technical education classes, including renewable solar energy, aviation, advanced robotics, advanced cybersecurity, advanced manufacturing, nursing, and 4 more. Those all sound pretty cool, but man... For a conservative board, that's an awful lot of money to spend at a meeting that wasn't, you know, didn't have a whole lot of ramp-up time to make sure people were able to come and hear and learn. When we did the golf course, sold the property to a developer at our homeowners association, and we sold it with the contingency that they build a golf course as a buffer between our properties and the property where they were going to do development, and... contractor kept trying to get out of the contract, sued us. It's the reason I became president of my HOA. We finally put so much, we were successful in defending against that, and the developer finally sold to a new builder. And when we presented all of the ideas and the drawings and the pictures and everything that the new builder wanted to do to the neighborhood, and because we needed the approval of our neighborhood to enter into this new agreement with the new builder, man, we spent hours and hours and hours, public meetings, online, a whole website to look at the pictures and the costs and the benefits to the neighborhood and possible concerns and hear from people. That's a neighborhood of a couple hundred homes is all. So for the school board to do this so quickly is shocking to me. And Brandy in Denver has thoughts. Brandy, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hi, I'm actually from Douglas County. You know, our 4 candidates that just got elected and sworn into office were not really aware of this agreement. We had to CORA request the school board to even find out what was going on with this building. They were trying to pretty much pushed this under the radar before our new members even got sworn in. So to say there's a lack of transparency and integrity by the board before is an understatement. This has nothing to do with our conservative members. We tried to get this core request pushed so that the taxpayers knew that these four other members of the school board before our newly elected members were trying to get this pushed through before they were elected onto the school board. It's shady, to say the least.
Okay. Very, very interesting. And was I right? I remember the Douglas County commissioners were thinking about purchasing this building for a different use in Douglas County, and they walked away from it.
I think anyone in their right mind would. I mean, how do you spend $11 million on a building and put $25 million into it? You have to wonder what's going on and whose back's getting patted. And I think you'll see that our new school board has gotten a lot of public comment regarding this. And I don't think that they're trying to push anything past. I think, if anything, they're wanting to pump the brakes and say, wait a second, this, you know, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right?
I mean, was this actually on an agenda? It's been up available if people were looking to know this was going to be voted on tomorrow?
Yes, it is on the meeting comments. I don't think that it's getting per se voted on. I think that they were asking for public comment as to how to move forward. You know, there's another problem with this is that we have an alternative high school in Castle Rock that's bursting at the seams. Parker gave us $6 million. A piece of land is going to charge us $6 million to build this alternative high school. And our board said no. And instead, we're looking at a $36 million investment. It's ridiculous. But again, it has nothing to do with these kids' first candidates. They're basically getting this garbage dumped in their laps, and they're trying to figure out what to do with it.
Good. Well, that is excellent. And we did reach out to them. I found out about the story and that I was going to be doing the show kind of late in the day. So we've emailed them to see if we can get their comments. But, you know, it could be that there's an argument that could be made that that this building is a good long-term investment for the school system. It needs the space. It needs the new classes. It needs the this or the that. And under a conservative board, if it made fiscal sense, I wouldn't worry about them only focusing on renewable solar energy and wind energy and, you know, all the other junk that the lefties would have crammed into that building.
Right. And I would appreciate if they were going to do something as far as that goes. I don't trust this former board to save my life. That's why I was on every street corner with signs getting this new board into office. I trust the four new candidates with everything, or I wouldn't have done those things. And I look forward to seeing what they're going to do for Douglas County and for our students finally. For the next 4 years, I feel like I can breathe a breath of fresh air.
Well, it is certainly important that people get on that meeting tomorrow, either via Zoom or get in there to let the new board members, just recently, just brand new, taking over, know
that. I assure you, there is a bunch of us, and my son and I are both signed up to speak, and I'm getting interviewed by Channel 7 tonight. We're not going to let them be taken to the wolves. If they think the majority is going to be quiet now that we've got the school board in there, they're sadly mistaken.
Now, and I don't know how wealthy the Douglas County School Board is. I don't know the long-term prospects for this building as a real estate investment or any of those things. But man, oh man, if the new board members are even considering this, I hope they postpone it and do a whole lot of public comment, get the information, get both sides out there, and really get the input, because that is major, major money people are trying to spend.
I'll tell you, I know three out of the four of them pretty well, and I look forward to them pumping the brakes. I don't think they would do anything rash. I think that they're taking their leadership as very important, and they know that a lot of us voted for them and got them in office, and I don't think they're going to do anything fiscally irresponsible.
What I'd love to see is for them to go back to what this last board or during this tenure of Democrats did, which was put a freeze. Remember, we had the litigation for charter schools in Douglas County, made it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And before the Supreme Court could make a decision, Democrats took over nonpartisan lefties took over the Douglas County School Board and pulled the Supreme Court case out from a decision. And that's a way to provide alternative types of education to people, not by buying a $35 million building, but opening it up for individual schools and individual innovation to start popping up again in Douglas County. That would have been a model for the entire country, and the lefties pulled the plug.
I agree, and we could be paying our teachers a whole lot better as well.
Yes.
They instead give them $1,000 right before this election, you know, jingle it right in front of them. And it's kind of like, it's, you know what, it's too little too late. My sister's a teacher and they've done nothing for teachers in Douglas County. And I'm looking forward to what this new school board's going to do. I think it's going to be great, like I said, for our kids, our teachers, and our parents.
Fantastic. Brandy, thanks for waiting and weighing in. Really helps.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Better believe it. 303-696-1971 is the phone number here. Top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Sharona Bishop, America's mom. She was at a Moms for America gathering in Mar-a-Lago, Florida, and they had a special guest by the name of Donald J. Trump who showed up. I got the picture from Sharona, and man, did he look relaxed and I guess sounded very relaxed. That was pretty cool. I want to know what's going on with that. I want to get an update on any of the fallout from the FBI bashing down her door. And a whole bunch of people have been texting me and writing me and saying, you know, if Sharona's going to be on, find out what it is exactly that the Mesa County clerk and recorder is being accused of, the criminal act. Because what I believe she did was she took a forensic copy of a Dominion machine. She didn't tell anybody that she was doing it. And again, I don't have any inside information here, so this is what I believe. And she did that because she knew that the so-called trusted build, where they wiped the machines clean, was coming. And obviously, the clerk or the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, got all freaked out about it. She created this emergency rule that forensic audits were verboten by clerks and recorders in counties without, you know, her permission, a whole bunch of criteria, et cetera. But she took that copy because she wanted to see if the voting record integrity was being maintained with the trusted build. Because what's supposed to happen for the trusted build is the machine is supposed to be backed up and that information is supposed to be kept for the 22, 25 months, something in there by required by federal law in case anyone challenges elections. So she got a backup, I guess, covertly, and then the build was done. And what would be interesting to me to know is does the backup copy that the Secretary of State took from that machine before they cleaned it contain all of the same records as the covert evaluation or copy of the machine, the forensic evaluation of the machine that clerk and recorder Tina Peters took? All that is yet to be determined, so I don't get why people are freaking out. Anyway, America's mom, Sharona Bishop, next on the Stephen Tubbs Show, coming up on 4 o'clock. Blake Olson with the news. You stay right there on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.